Congratulations. You're listening to Congratulations
Pine Tree,
the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
All right, there's been a lot going on this week.
Lots and lots going on.
The Millions March was just yesterday. We're recording this on Sunday. Don't need to get into the calendar specifics, but that was extremely huge. Yeah. I was at the march in Oakland, and there were people as far as the eye could see.
Oh, that's so awesome. I joined the SF march a little bit later in the day, and so it was a fairly small crowd, but it was great to see them still going.
But the cops were out in full force.
It was kind of shocking. There were at least two cops per person, at least. And it's like at one point, you know, at one point we were just walking, like the cops were just walking in unison with the protesters. Like I was almost just like, you guys look like you're protesting with us. Like there was no, which maybe some of them were.
I doubt it.
Deep down inside, they were like, yeah. I wish I could be here as a civilian, not as a cop.
Just to stay on message, though, the protests are in response to the killings of unarmed black civilians.
Right. Police brutality. Against police brutality, officers. Basically. Yeah.
Hey, this is Kate from the future, and I was going to play a clip here of someone speaking at the rally, but instead I'm going to put a link to that in the link world. After Maysoon and I recorded, I went to a talk at the Omni Commons in Oakland that was titled Black Liberation and White Anti-Racism in the Time of Ferguson. And it was a panel with Alicia Garza, who's the co-founder of Black Lives Matter, Robbie Clark, who's in the Blackout Collective, and Kamau Walton, who works with Critical Resistance. And I'm going to play a couple really short clips of them in that order. And then I'll also have a link to the event page for this. I'm pretty sure they were going to transcribe everything that was said and make that publicly available. So here you go. I thought all these speakers blew my mind. So I hope the same happens to you.
So when we talk about state violence, right, oftentimes in the media what we're hearing is all of this data and information about police killings, and that's really important. But what's also state violence is people in Detroit having their water privatized. What's also state violence is black women and girls being used as negotiating chips during times of war. Are black trans people being thrown away like garbage and murdered? That happens here in Oakland. It happens all over this country. And there have been several dozens of instances of murders of black trans people, and they haven't made the news. So we challenge each of you and each of us, we challenge ourselves to broaden out our understanding of state-sanctioned violence, to really understand a project that targets black communities for elimination and destruction. And that is a project that was begun, right, on the heels of the black freedom movement that flourished here in this country. That is an ongoing project. That is not over. So I want to talk a little bit about why there's been a debate, right, about why we don't say all lives matter. And first I want to say, because I see some of y'all shifting, like, look, I told you, all lives matter. It's true. It's true. I'm on record. All lives matter. Okay. We're all human beings. We all bleed red. And now that we've gotten that out of the way. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, that's the world that we're building towards, but Lord knows we're not there. And so the easiest way for me to say it is that if we really believe that all lives matter, then that means you will fight like hell right now for black lives. This rapper out of St. Louis, his name is Tef Poe, and he wrote this song called War Cry. You should check that out. Download it and share it with your friends. It's really good. And it's named as a diss tape to the governor, Jay Nixon. But in it, he says that that Ferguson is Obama's Katrina.
And I want us to sit with that because as we're coming up on the kind of 10 years since Hurricane Katrina happened in this country, I really want us to be thinking about how the state responds, right? And how the state responds to Black people, right? When Black people are in emergency, right? And I want us to be thinking about how can we shift what that response looks like, right? And then just chew on that for me.
I'm up here to talk a little bit extra about the prison industrial complex, which I will refer to as the PIC to save time and syllables. So we have had conversations with folks that we share community with about how sometimes the alternatives or the demands that come out of these police killings are, you know, community policing. More cops that look like us. More Black and brown police, stronger community and police relationships, which to me is like the only way I'm going to have a strong relationship to a cop is if they quit their job. Some of the issues to these approaches are that the prison industrial complex, which includes policing and surveillance and imprisonment and all of the different avenues that takes in all of the different names, is not a system that is broken. This is not something that can be tweaked or reformed in certain ways because it was built on the backs of Black people and other folks of color in order to serve a couple of different purposes. So policing right now, based on the state, is being held up, as well as the rest of the prison industrial complex, is being held up as a response to social, economic, and political problems. So if a young person doesn't have a place to go after school and they're posted up on the corner where they live with their cousins or their friends or their neighbors, then the response to that, instead of investing in community and providing safe spaces for youth, is to propose gang injunctions and youth curfews and lording ordinances. And that is not actually what we need. This is because the state is not really meant to serve and protect the people. It is meant to serve and protect those in power who have held power for centuries and centuries.
I wish I could just play everything that was said of that talk, but since I can't, I'm gonna put a link to everything I recorded and a link to the organization that put that talk together in the link world, and you can check it out. And now the rest of the podcast.
Where is Omni Commons?
It is located at 4799 Shattuck Avenue, which is on 48th Street, just off Telegraph, right down the street from the MacArthur BART station. So no big deal. You could just walk down there. They've got everything. They've got a cafe. They've got a bookstore. They've got a printing collective. They have meetings on how to read the Quran in Arabic and reading Sart in French and
cool.
Yoga classes.
They've got everything.
They've got it all.
Awesome. I've never heard of that.
So I have a link to that down in the underworld.
The undercarriage? What do we call that area?
Yeah, I have no idea.
You know, with all this sort of turmoil, I would say, that's going on, it's kind of, for me, I feel like it's been hard to think about the holidays and celebrating and being like, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with like being happy with your family and friends, but also just like, you know, there's this other issue that's huge at the forefront of my mind and certainly at your mind. And it's sort of, I think there's like, is it okay for us to be happy right now?
No,
you know what I mean?
It's not.
It's like, is it okay? I don't know. I'm supposed to be getting gifts for people, but I mean, like, what the fuck kind of gift do you get people these days?
Well,
I don't know.
That's a good way to... So I just went to the East Side Cultural Center, and the East Side Arts Alliance had their holiday sale. I didn't have any fucking money, so I ended up just buying a piece of fudge for myself.
Way to be selfish, but I, Kate. But way to be selfish.
I brought some friends and they did some holiday shopping or whatever.
And so what kind of items, objects, crafts?
Oh, all kinds. Prints, books, some really excellent children's books.
I went to a couple places, but the one I'll talk about is Root Division's Misfit Toy Factory, which I'd never been to before. They've been doing it for a number of years now around the holidays, and it's actually modeled off of Southern Exposure's Monster Drawing Rally. It's basically a live art-making event, which I didn't realize. But it was fantastic. I mean, there's artists in the room making objects, toys. It was mostly sculptural, like three-dimensional objects. That you can buy on the spot, $40 a piece. And it was really, really, I mean, it was just really fun to see. I always love watching artists work. Those opportunities seem sort of few and far between for me. And so that was really fun. And then I think there was a good number of people there buying. There are a lot of artists there sort of just enjoying their time making with friends. And then I think the objects that didn't sell yesterday will be up and available on view at Root Division and available for sale until December 18th. So you still have a few days to potentially go grab a few really interesting objects. Handmade, just for you. And it's obviously supporting a fantastic nonprofit arts organization in the city that's surviving in the city.
Don't celebrate the holidays. Let's all stop.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
There's no reason we have to continue this.
It's just a big fucking buying frenzy, consumerist frenzy out there. It's crazy.
You know, whatever. It seems like whether we had Christmas or whatever, there'd still be some designated day where everyone has to shop.
What about celebrating a holiday that's not your own? Like saying, hey, you know what? This year I'm going to try this holiday and learn all about it. I've never done that before.
Or make up a holiday like Festivus. Or make up a holiday.
Festivus.
Yeah. Okay, what's our holiday, Maysoon? This is culture because we're creating our own new culture.
Polka dot Sunday.
Polka dot Sunday. Think of the activities. You could put polka dots on all your household objects.
And on your cats and pets.
And yourself, wear your best polka dot outfits.
Mm-hmm. You can decorate all of your food with polka dots. You can make cookies with sprinkles on them that look like polka dots.
You can hide polka dots around the house and have your kids find them.
Mm-hmm. You can make polka dot ornaments easily.
Duh.
You can paint. Only eat circular food.
Walk around in circles. You get creative with it.
Get creative, people. Let's hear your ideas about a polka dot Sunday.
For polka dot Sunday. Call in, tweet in. Maysoon almost spit at me when I just said that. Or text in.
I still feel really uncomfortable with that. Tweet in. What?
419-351-6606.
You have to bleep that.
Bleep.
And I also, Kate doesn't know this, but I'd like to announce a new contest/competition for the best designed Congratulations Pine Tree t-shirt.
Oh, I want to design it.
Okay, well, we can have someone else design
it
too.
Okay, you're doing the alternative design to my primary design, because mine is the best.
Is your design the one where there's a pine tree with the flag that says congratulations?
No, it's going to have a little first place ribbon. It's not going to have any words.
The pine tree will have a first place ribbon. Yeah. Okay, so there's already two designs there. Do you have a design for what our t-shirt could look like?
Send in your weird designs.
Send it in. We also might need a logo.
But just know that you can only get second place because I already won.
Damn.
The race to second
We've
place.
We've got someone here who is obsessed with themselves.
I just have a lot of
Are you going to be able to... Are you, ideas. Is it going to be painting? Will you paint it and then we'll transfer it on?
I was thinking I'd make a silk screen.
A silk screen. Nice. We can go print it over at Mission Graphica.
Okay. We're here at Mission Pie in the Mission District of San Francisco, California. And we are with
Sarah Hotchkiss.
My name is Carrie Lynn.
From Stairwells. I would describe Stairwells, but I think obviously you could do a better job. So give us a little rundown of what that is.
Stairwells is a project that Sarah and I started in the fall of 2011. We're kind of deciding still whether it's a curatorial project or an artist project. Most likely, it's a combination of both. For Stairwells, we put on site-specific exhibitions, temporary exhibitions of site-specific work that we commission local artists to make. And we also put out short form publications, and we also lead group walking tours that are called field trips, where we also work with artists to develop content along each route, and each field trip is in a different location within the Bay Area. And sometimes we also make work as stairwells, as artists, as stairwells. But we don't create exhibitions for the opportunity to make work. Sometimes we get asked to make work as a collaborative known as stairwells.
We were going to ask because Maysoon and I are also a duo, a collaborative duo. We know that there are a lot of conflicts and also benefits of working with a partner. I was wondering how you guys handle being a two-person collaborative.
Sometimes one partner can be more pushy than the other.
I deny nothing.
Handle you with the mic.
Okay, I'll answer that one since we're very equal in our partnership. Carrie and I met in 2008 at a residency under our artist hats. So we were already very good friends based on that. And then I moved to San Francisco to go to CCA for grad school.
Where were you before that?
I was in Brooklyn.
That's in New York.
Yes, it is. I was in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. So I came out to CCA, and Carrie, who was helping me apply to grad school, said, hey, we're looking for a roommate. So the stars aligned. I moved into her apartment, and then 2 years later, I finally had time to work on a project. We found that we are very compatible. Like, we have skills that balance each other out. We can, like, simultaneously edit a Google document working on one sentence at the same time. And we found that doesn't exist with very many people or anyone else. So, yeah, it's worked out. And we both are arts administrators in another hat, another life. So at the same organization now. So our skills and our backgrounds and our interests balance each other out really well.
But you don't live together anymore, right?
No, we did live together for 3 years, 4 years. We lived together for 4 years. So there was a point when I first started working at Southern Exposure last year where Sarah and I were roommates, co-workers, and co-directors of stairwells, all three. And we have a joint checking account for the purposes of stairwells, not for our like regular finances.
It was like, why stairwells and not fountains, slides, hills, any number of weird nooks and crannies in the city, you know?
So when Sarah and I first started talking about doing a collaborative project, we were actually going to start doing it in the garage of the house that we shared. And then we realized that it was just going to be too insane to try to make the garage both a functional space for us and our other housemates as well as, you know, for showing art. And so we decided to pick stairs because we felt that it was a really odd place to put artwork because normally with stairs you just move through them. You're not supposed to stop on the stairs. Like, you go up or you go down and you should be careful and watch your step and go, you know, get to your destination, right? And so we thought it was especially interesting to put work somewhere where, you know, normally you wouldn't be stopping. And so it was really, you know, just like being interested in the challenge of having other artists make work in those spaces and also of, you know, just finding a way to make that happen for people. And so one thing about stairwells that we sometimes get asked, the first person to ask us about this was Sarah's mom, actually. But I always get excited when people ask us about this, which is, you know, why is there an apostrophe in stairwells?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like stairwell apostrophe S, right. You know, and capital S for the stairwells. And so, you know, we really wanted, because it was going to be a roving project and, you know, that the locations would always be different for our program, we really liked the idea of kind of implying that it was, you know, a stationary place, kind of like your neighborhood bar or like a corner store, you know, like a place that had someone's name attached to it, like Stan's or Bob's or, you know, whatever it might be, Carol's Diner, you know, whatever it is. And so we liked the idea of thinking of stairwells as like a specific place that we're always moving around. But like, because we are making it happen, it's like this specific thing.
There's I forgot who wrote the book, but there's a book on like the stairwells of San Francisco.
Yes.
And so initially I think I was like, oh, they're doing like tours of those stairwells, but I love that you're actually doing it. You're not. You're like in the stairwells of like Yerba Buena or like, I don't know, any number of places that have nothing to do with those other fanciful, famous stairwells of San Francisco.
We are very familiar with the work of Ada Bakalinsky. Yeah, she's okay. Kind of the patron saint of stairwells. She's this amazing woman who's charted, somewhere like 30 plus stairwells in San Francisco, and the book is fantastic. It narrates these really intimate walking tours where she'll point out, like, this house didn't have indoor plumbing until 1952. To your left, you'll see a palm tree that was just a small 5-foot tree in 1987, but now stands at over 40 feet tall. You know, it's like adorable. You feel really like you're with her on this walking tour. And so we had that book in our house and took a few of the walks around Bernal Hill. And then it has definitely been the basis for a lot of the routes that we've charted throughout San Francisco. And we found the kind of complimentary book for the East Bay, which is by Charles Fleming, who's actually from L.A., but his daughter was attending UC Berkeley, and he would come up here and visit her and decided he needed to write a stairway walk book for Berkeley and Oakland. It's really good. It's really, they're both great books. And they've informed us about certain routes that we incorporate, but our walks are definitely very, very different, full of surprises and snacks and, weird detours that they are not interested in.
Was it your first one where you did the elevators at the Metreon? Could you discuss that a little bit?
Yeah, so it was actually the escalators at the AMC on Van Ness, kind of near Civic Center. And for that field trip, we invited Carrie Hott, who was one of the artists in the first Stairwells show, to co-lead the field trip with us. And she developed this really interesting tour. It was kind of like a historical narrative of the invention of escalators, which she was able to deliver while we all rode the escalator. And she rode the escalator kind of like backwards, like facing the group, which she also was, like, really afraid of, because at the end of every floor, we had to, like, warn her to, like, quickly turn around so she wouldn't, like, fall down. But, like, because the AMC Van Ness has, I don't know, it's, like, 6 or 7 flights of escalators.
They go on forever.
Yeah, they're so amazing. And they just, like, it's, like, a continuous thing. And it's probably, like, 10 minutes to get all the way to the top. And so we had this, like, really great experience of riding an escalator while somebody was telling us about the whole history of escalators. And then we got to the top, and then we were in the movie theater, and we talked about some different aspects of the building and some views outside. And then at the end of the field trip, we offered the option of 2 different movies to see. Since we had to buy tickets for everyone to get them into the escalator section. And then the movies were actually pretty terrible. Both options were pretty bad, but we like bought popcorn, and we were like, all right, there's 2 big things of popcorn. They're going into these 2 movies. Pick which movie you want to see.
Was that the end of the tour, basically? Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
When I was looking, I was very excited about the escalator one, because climbing a lot of stairs for 3 hours sounds like my hell. So I wonder... not really a question, but bless.
Yeah, Carrie and I have talked about this at many times over the past 3 years that we've been doing stairwells, which is like, you have to be able to climb these stairs to see our shows, participate in our field trips, et cetera, et cetera. So,
and willing.
Yes, willing. I will say that the field trips are not exclusively stair climbing. There is, like, a lot of flat, every now and then a staircase, and then at the top, always an amazing view. But I would like to develop some sort of programming that's, you know, potentially accessible in every way.
It could be a whole episode could be on descending.
How do you get up there?
I don't know.
Helicopter in?
Helicopter in, people.
Well, we have had parts of tours where we surprise everyone by telling them to meet us at an intersection where there's a bus stop. And then right after everyone gets together, we're like, we're getting on this bus. And we, like, hand out, like, tokens. And everyone's like, what? And we just all get on the bus and we take over the bus. And we've also had things where we... where it's, yeah, like Sarah said, like, oh, yeah, where we split into different directions. And so, like, during the middle of a field trip, you know, everybody draws a number, and then there's, like, 2 groups, and you split off for, like, an hour or 30 or 40 minutes and do different things and then come back. And so I think that could be a way that we could vary, like, the degree of, like, I don't know. I mean, the stair climbing does sometimes, it is a little exhausting, but it's definitely only probably a third of the entire trip that you're actually climbing stairs. Because we're also interested in stair-related structures, also possibly known as unstairs. It's a term that we made up for things that are like stairs, but in some way, but are not stairs, such as like water slides. Here, you give some examples.
Zip lines?
Ramps, rolling staircase ladders, like for warehouses.
Oh, yeah. Or galleries, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fire poles.
Yes, fire poles are definitely unstairs. So we're definitely going to have an exhibition in 2015, and we just secured some funding through the amazing Oakland Stock Program, which is a Sunday soup event that happens every few months. Lexa Walsh organizes it, and people pay for a soup and salad dinner, and then they vote on 5 or 6 artist presentations for a project to fund with all the till money from the dinner. So that was just past Sunday, and we got a big chunk of money thanks to that that we're going to use towards our 7th field trip, which will happen in the spring.
Okay, any last thoughts for listeners? Anything you want the world to know, the world of our 5 people that listen to the show?
Thank you guys so much for having us. It's a true pleasure, and I feel like I'm living my radio dreams.
Yeah, this is really great. And our other tagline, our unofficial future other tagline that we would like to use is help us spread the stair gospel. And so I'm really appreciative of the two of you. One step at a time. Help us spread the stair gospel one step at a time.
Nice. Congratulations, stairwells. The other thing that happened this week was the fucking Stormageddon.
We had a Stormageddon. How come we didn't get, weren't they calling it, oh no, it was called an atmospheric river, which I fucking love that description.
It was a river in the air.
It was beautiful.
Wait, the words or the actual storm?
I don't know. I guess the words, but then it can translate into the storm as well.
Well, my studio got a lot of leaks and the parking lot flooded and everything went to shit. But lucky me, I'm moving studio, so
fuck
I got all my shit out of there.
They're like, see you later.
Yeah, that's too much for me. I feel like
the museum had some leaks too.
If there's one thing you fucking need in a studio, it's a ceiling that blocks out water coming in. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but if you work on paper or...
Kate's studio was crazy. I'm really glad you're out of there. That place was nuts. She had like a chain link fence inside the building as her studio. I mean, how do you hang paintings on a chain link fence?
We built a wall, Maysoon.
I'm just fucking around. I know.
Anyhow, it was fine. I feel like you got to start out with a shitty... You got to start shitty.
Plus, I think there are ways to hang paintings on chain link fences.
Sure, there are.
Carabiners, hooks, all
but
sorts of matter.
If you get a real kind of not luxury place to begin with, every place you have after that, you'll appreciate.
I think having 4 walls and a ceiling and a door is not necessarily luxury. You know,
it could be to me.
Well, I guess it is now. Yeah.
Yep. So anyhow, so there was a lot of water, a lot of rain. I didn't hear anything else about art being damaged.
We had the Mills College Art Museum. We had some leaks. We actually decided to close the museum on Thursday.
Wow.
Because we were concerned that some of the framed uncovered works in the show right now, the Sarah Oppenheimer show, would be ruined with water, so we covered everything in plastic.
Wow.
We had a few leaks from our ceiling is basically a huge greenhouse with lay light, so it's windows and windows.
And that building was made in what, 1925?
1925. And so we had a few buckets down in the gallery. We had to check our collection areas, and in the painting collection we had a few leaks where we had to move some things around. But nothing was damaged, so we feel lucky about that.
Yeah, that's good. I remember when Superstorm Sandy came through New York, I think they just finally tallied up all the money.
Oh my God, that was crazy.
Cost,
yeah,
just in terms of the artwork that was ruined, millions and millions and millions of dollars.
How come our storm didn't get a name? I feel kind of left out.
Because it wasn't really that bad of a storm.
I still want a name.
It was. There was
a
lot of
flooding. Let's give it a name.
Sheldon.
Atmospheric River Sheldon came through the Bay Area last week, everyone.
That's cute.
Do you have any stories to tell? Did anything
what
happen
for
you?
What was your atmospheric river experience? Let us know. You won't, though, you motherfuckers. God.
Damn you, listeners. Okay, let's get real right now. So listeners do talk to us. I get messages and whatnot from listeners pretty regularly. But it's always...
Do they text you? How do they get in touch with you?
I get all kinds. We've had a couple texts. But point is, all they say is, oh, I really like the show.
I really like your show.
And that's great. I'm glad that you like it. That's nice to hear for sure. Don't you have questions? Don't you want to respond to any of the crazy harebrained shit we're coming up with?
Yeah. Come on, guys. We know you think. We know you have brain.
What's the etymology of that?
I don't know.
Is it offensive? I guarantee it's not offensive. I redact it. So point is, give us a call in. You have ideas, people. You're very opinionated.
Yeah.
Most of the time. The rest of the world. Artists are some of the most cynical, fucking backbiting.
Backbiting.
Motherfuckers.
You know,
we're giving you a shot to tell us what happened. That
they
we
might be
suck.
Busy with
I'm
some
really
other
more
things.
Expecting people to say, you dummies.
Congratulations. You've listened to another episode of Congratulations Pine Tree.
The Bay's number one arts and culture podcast.
Whoop, whoop.
Don't forget to respond to all the things we've ever said in every episode by calling in, texting in to 419-351-6606. You can tweet in at Pine Tree Podcast. Maysoon shot a dagger from her eye.
What is all this marketing shit you're doing at the end of the podcast? This is going to be like another 10 minutes.
This is a marketing. Okay, so have a really great week. Step up to the plate, be a team player, rub your nose on stuff.
Don't drown in the atmospheric river of your mind.
Don't drown in the atmospheric river of your mind. That's good shit.
You like that? Let's end on that one.
Goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, and the major lift, the baffled king composed.